Blog Talk Radio.
The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron. A podcast featuring Elvira Love and Deborah Voith, two out of the broom closet professional witches with over 70 years combined experience of making magic. This is a show on the LMC radio network. During each episode, Elvira and Deb will help you create rituals, cast spells, make potions, and much more besides. They'll spend time speaking about different goddesses from all over the world, paying attention to the ancient reverence of long-ago cultures and infusing it with a modern perspective. Elvira, Deb, take it away.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey. Well, this is Deborah Voith here with Elvira Love, and tonight, well, continuing this month's theme, although we skipped the week, of mastering our inner warrior, tonight we are going to be talking about balancing and reclaiming our inner sovereignty. So, but before that, we're just going to kind of catch up with each other a little bit here, and so let me see what was going on with my week, or my past 2 weeks, I should think.
Yes,
I've been burning lots of candles. Yeah, 2 weeks. So it's like, I feel a little off sync, but that's okay. I've been up to just, I don't know, like a variety of things. It's been burning a lot of healing candles, and it seems like that's been kind of a streak that's been going on, which I like the last few weeks. Also, you know, it's kind of interesting. I burned for myself a fast luck candle to St. Expedite, and you know, I was really discouraged at first because, you know, I did the thing. I put 3 coins in front of him. I don't pay him off until he, you know, responds. And but the candle, it was a vigil candle, and it was burning really weird. Like it was, it sunk down in the middle, kind of like one of those landfalls or whatever. And I thought, oh, no, that doesn't look good. The flame got really itsy-bitsy, and I thought, oh, Expedite doesn't look like he's responding to me at all, you know. But then the next day, the flame got really bright and stronger, and all the residual wax that it had been clinging to the sides all melted down. And it started burning really bright, and it was really kind of cool because then I had a couple of things, unexpected opportunities flow my way. And so I was like, oh, well, it looks like this is really coming about, although I'm not going to pay him off until after the candle's all done burning. But I will talk him up because he likes that. He likes you to thank him publicly. So, well, you know, I'm going to let this ride out and then kind of get back to everybody about that. Yeah. So otherwise, I just, the weather here has been pretty wild. It's been, you know, going from some kind of warmer spring-like days over the last week or two to some really freezing days and nights. And now, so I had a feeling this was going to happen because my birthday's in April, and there's been many a time where we've gotten, like, a huge snowstorm on my birthday. Tonight, like, right after the spring equinox, we're getting forecasts with 4 to 6 inches of snow. So I'm like, oh.
Oh, my God.
Oh, let me put my shovel by the back door.
Yeah, really. Oh.
So how's your past couple of weeks been, Elvira?
Well, as we know, last week we didn't do a live show because last week I was having a tornado watch. Now, specifically, you have to learn what watching the warning is. Watches, you're looking out for it. It looks like it's possible, but, you know, they aren't sure. And the warning is prepare to jump and get hidden as fast as you can to a safe place. So luckily we were in the watch stage, and, of course, you know, it did end with, you know, at about, you know, 3 Central Time. So we did still have time for our show, and I was on the phone to both Deb, you, and Nagashiva, you know, saying, okay, we aren't sure, but we're going to have this large thunderstorm, and when this thunderstorm's come over this area, it sounds like we are in the middle of cannon fire. And I was going, if that happens, we, you know, it's impossible to do the show because we're going to have that in the background. And sure enough, you know, they said, well, it's going to end at 6, and it didn't. By the time I had said I would contact, you know, everybody, it was still questionable, and I'm glad that I said, let's put the spring equinox, you know, rebroadcast up, because it went a little longer, and I was like, oh, this would have been intense. So that was how, I mean, it was kind of like that was my week with a lot of other things. I'd done a crystal bowl healing meditation a week before, or on Sunday, with my daughter and my granddaughter, and it was the first time my granddaughter had ever done it. She just loved it, and, you know, it was intense and beautiful, and then my body started aching. So I was really releasing a lot of stuff. I had a lot of, you know, things going on, and I was like, oh, my God, really, this is what I get for doing it. You know, I'm healing, but it's painful. And then by the time I got to this weekend, it was a calmer weekend, and I immediately went to the chiropractor on Monday to say, I think you better see if everything's in alignment because I feel like crud. And he put stuff back, and things started to work out. And right now, you know, I was kind of looking at the weather, and they were saying, oh, yeah, we're supposed to have some rain. Maybe it's a little, and, you know, there was a little thunder, and I'm like, not tonight. So it cleared up and actually went away. So being on show on air, I was so excited because I really was like going, even if we have this, we're going to have to tough it out because, you know, we want to make sure that our show we stay in coordination. But, and, you know, just in general, it's been a lot of healing, but in the healing, it's been, and I'm not just talking my own body, but, you know, even clients, a lot of healing, but there's a lot of emotion behind it, pain behind it, you know, not like agonizing, but there's stuff that's just coming up, and then all of a sudden it kind of flushes out and everybody's going, oh, I'm feeling so good. And you're like, but to get there, all this other stuff had to kind of come through. So your candle sounds very much like how things have been going with just things like healing or, you know, just in general. So, yeah. So I think inner sovereignty is really good to focus on, because as I was saying to you when we did our planning session last week, that I thought we were, you know, we were on track. And then by the time we touched base again this week, it was like, yeah, there has been so much of that really experiencing, not just in my own life, but the people that I'm connecting with, whether it's family, friends, or clients. So it's a good subject. I turn it back to you, darling.
So I am happy that we kind of came up with this topic, and I know that it was you that really inspired it, because I had to really take a look at what does personal or inner sovereignty mean. And To be honest, I had never, like, really heard that term, although once I started looking at the sources, I could see things popping up all over. But I wasn't even sure how to pronounce sovereignty. I was like, is that sovereignty or sovereignty? You know, I wasn't even sure, you know. But, no, it is 3 syllables, sovereignty. And
right.
So, you know, I had an idea of what it would mean to me. But then I looked at how a variety of other people find personal sovereignty, and then really kind of, you know, solidified what, how I would interpret it. And so, so the, like the word sovereignty, it's kind of an archaic term that means that you are your own ultimate authority. And when you are sovereign, you know yourself and you are true to yourself, and pretty much know, you know, who you are and what you're about and what you want. And your sovereignty is, I believe, is kind of like your sacred sense of self. Like you are the ruling authority or the king or queen of your own body, mind, and soul. So, and I just wanted to, you know, make sure that we take the time to define it, because if you start Googling it, you might start seeing anything from some radical sovereign citizen movement to things talking about, you know, old time royalty,
right,
or political things. And it's what we're talking about tonight here is like our own exclusive personal power unto ourselves, and so so not about politics, but more about focusing on the spiritual aspects of each of us, and how we exist as a full and equal being to everything. And so in that way, then when I'm thinking about sovereignty, that would mean, you know, also accountability. So then, like, you and only you have full control over you. And so, you know, but, you know, I've seen people go to, you can take anything good and go to an extreme with it where it's not so good then. And so it's not something that you should be punitive about or beating yourself over the head with or anything like that. It's basically, it seems like a spiritual principle about, like, self-rulership and, you know, your individual authority. And I think that other terms for it might be things like, it could be personal empowerment or personal autonomy. Some people might call it self-determination or personal freedom or free will. And so I think however you say it or define it for yourself, it's really about not thinking or feeling that you're better than anybody else. It's not about that at all. It would be like if you had a good king or queen over the land of you, what would that look like? And it would be, you know, someone who is kind and, you know, maybe humble and not humiliated. A lot of people confuse that term too, but more like humble and but just knowing your self-worth at the same time. So it's not wearing that crown of self-importance. How about you, Elvira? What are some of your thoughts about how to define that?
Well, definitely you laid a really good base there, and, you know, the idea of the concept of reclaiming and balancing our, you know, this aspect within ourselves, because as you said, it's something we give away our, you know, our own power. We give away our, because, you know, of the different things that happen in our lives and that have happened in our childhood and all the different things that are, that make us, you know, the person we are when we, you know, start our journey here. But it is, it is a journey that basically starts with the first, you know, with first step of recognizing there is a new path available than the way we've been working it. And then process of learning to find the balance and wholeness where, you know, nothing has a power or influence over you, and yet you are able to maintain your position in the center of it all. So, you know, it's, I
like
I think
that term
sometimes,
wholeness.
Yes, because that because what we become is fragmented when mm-hmm. we give away pieces of ourselves for whatever it is. And I mean, sometimes it's because we love somebody and we want to do something, but inside of us we know that that isn't really the best path for us to do. We still do it, and you know, there's so much that we that's kids, that's animals, that's, you know, bosses, that's mm-hmm. anything out there that, you know, is part of our life. It isn't just a love relationship, but, you know, that mm-hmm. is what we do. But it's about those things of, you know, first of all, recognizing that you are a spiritual being and you're more than your thoughts, emotions, and a physical body. And then listen to your inner guidance, which is what we usually do, but then we throw that inner guidance aside, especially if there's something we're trying to, you know, we're giving our power away for, you know, that's the other part of it. But this is listening to that inner guidance and then aligning mm-hmm. with your values. And values, you know, it's a very important thing to know your values, to have, to find your values, to establish them. And this is all a learning process, because sometimes we get it and we're lucky enough to have family upbringing and or some group or community that helps, but it's usually eventually has to become personal because we have experiences, and so then we may see something that, you know, may have worked over there for, you know, our brother or, you know, our friend, but it isn't working for us. And then the last part of it is forgiveness. Forgiving ourselves first and foremost, and forgiving others and circumstances. And sometimes, even in brutal situations, it's a hard thing to do, but we give, even with that, it's almost like being, when you're angry and you're hurt, you're giving away your power. You need to feel those feelings, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Because those are the things that become toxic if you stuff them in your body and your mind and your spirit. Mm-hmm. But then there's a part of that process of forgiveness. And I know that that brings peace. And when that happens, then you have come into balance, you know. And that's what, you know, when you're looking at reclaiming and then going to balance, becomes basically a mental steadiness, you know, emotional stability, being able to, you know, have a habit of calm. These are managing in a responsible way your personal growth and the, you know, adaptive aspects to challenges. That's, you know, that's the hardest part of what it is the balance, because, you know, we can reclaim it, but then we can just throw it back right out at something when something happens. Oh, you know. So.
Yeah, that whole forgiveness thing sounds like it's a medicine almost.
Yes. Yes.
It helps us to reclaim.
Yeah. And so that kind of is how I see it. I know that, you know, there's a lot that goes into all of this, and you know, finding the word sovereignty, and I found it just like you did. I was snickering underneath my breath here of, you know, some of the things that come up with that, and I'm just like, you know, we're going in the wrong direction with, you know, ancient queens and kings, and, you know, and then sometimes what it became, and this is what happens when you're out there looking. Well, we can look in our books that we have, hardback or, you know, Kindle books or whatever. But when you start sourcing in the internet, which, again, is why we have to be very, selective, is that you'll start getting things about gaming. And suddenly you go off in a completely different direction. Yes. And especially with things that have to do with kings, queens, and spiritual stuff and magic and everything, and you can find yourself going, well, wait a minute, this isn't where I'm trying to go. So, it was a real interesting experience going for this level of what we're trying to, you know, find and get other ideas. But once you hit that area, like you said, you get a whole wealth of this information. And you know, mm-hmm. again, you kind of look at it, and several things have a similar pattern, but they approach mm-hmm. it slightly differently. So it's like you do A, B, C, and D, but then each one of them finds a way to, you know, look at it a different way and come to that inner sovereignty. So like everything else, there is never one way to do it.
I think you're so right about that. I like that, the whole aspect of thinking of it as spiritual and as a sacred form of self-empowerment. So it's almost like taking that to kind of a higher level, and so that we honor ourselves in the highest regard. And so we're, in a way, we're authoritative to ourselves, but then we're also humble to ourselves.
Right.
And
right.
Yeah, and I think it can, I'm glad that we're really kind of defining what it is at the beginning here, because I think that, you know, like you were saying, there can be like so many different interpretations of that simple term sovereignty. And something that I've kind of noticed, and I've just, you know, I'm not going to dwell on it long, but I did want to bring it up, is that I noticed that, especially with how, I don't know, things just seem to move at a faster pace these days, and people tend to want to gain knowledge or understanding very quickly. And I think that there's a term that I discovered in the last few years that that's called spiritual bypassing. And I think that it's possible that sometimes people might confuse inner sovereignty with spiritual bypassing, because spiritual bypassing is the tendency to use spiritual ideas and practices to kind of like bypass or avoid facing, you know, some of the stuff that you were talking about, like unresolved emotional issues, unfinished, you know, business with other people, psychological wounds and the like. And the term spiritual bypassing was actually introduced in the mid-80s by a Buddhist teacher and psychotherapist named John Wellwood. And if you think about bypassing, I always think of like a highway or something where you're going, you know, around something. And so I could see how that a form of that like would be kind of comforting in a way, but it could kind of be a little escapist in a way. And so I think that a lot of the things that you and I have talked about over the last few months really kind of ties in with this, like doing shadow work and you know, just kind of confronting your inner demons and stuff, you know, having to do with that. I think that all of that, you know, self-acceptance and all of those different things that kind of add up together form your inner or personal sovereignty. Because a lot of those other things are just kind of like defense mechanisms or ways to kind of distance yourself from some of the things you might have to deal with before you can kind of move on and really embrace that that inner sovereignty.
Right.
So I just wanted to mention that because it's like a lot of the things that we've talked about, there's no like quick route. But I think that everybody, no matter where you're at with yourself, can, you know, connect with their inner sovereignty. You know, we might have, you know, like you were talking about the whole thing like with forgiveness, where, you know, lots of times it's like a medicine or a balm, and we actually were resistant to it, but then when we do it, we're actually feeling better. But then sometimes we take it back and say, you know, through this, you know. And so it's like, it's always, I think, of like a series of different challenges that come up that kind of help us, you know, at times to grow closer and more connected to our inner sovereignty. And at other times we might, you know, end up being feeling like we're more on the, or disconnected or on the outside of it. You know, and it's just, I think that lots of times spirit does put things in our path that we need to learn and to, you know, be challenged by and grow by and stuff like that.
So, well, I agree. And, you know, there, we want everything quick, and the more that we've had the developments that we have had in our society where things have, you know, made a faster, you can get things faster. You can find information faster on the, you know, internet, and you can do this. We've also tried to figure out how we can fast forward, literally, through a lot of what we have got so we don't have to be bothered by the stuff. And we would consider, you know, as if we were saying those are commercials and we really hate those commercials, we don't want to hear about that, so we'll fast forward through it. And the kind of sovereignty and the spiritual work and the things here are done with more of a focus on a step-by-step process. You know, this is what you do. I know this is something that, you know, we all, one day at a time, you know, 1 hour at a time, 1 minute at a time, because we are always challenged, you know. And at that, I think I'm going to turn it over to you, because I think we're supposed to have some kind of a break or something.
We are. We are. I was just letting you round up there. But, yes, we are going to take a break now. But when we come back, we're going to take a deeper dive into the meaning of this concept and how it intersects with both our mundane and magical lives. So break us away, Naga Shiva.
You're listening to The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, a radio podcast on the LMC Radio Network. Stay tuned, as more magic is coming your way right after these messages. LMC. You're listening to the LMC Radio Network, broadcasting out of Forestville, California, on the World Wide Web at LuckyMojo.com. The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman, Sundays, 3 to 4:30, Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places with Reverend Art and Reverend James, Mondays, 4 to 5:30, The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, in syndication, Tuesdays, The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Miss Phoenix LeFay, in syndication, Tuesdays, The Now You Know Show with Professor Porterfield, in syndication, Wednesdays. And The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Deborah Voith, Thursdays, 4 to 5. All times specific, add 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com.
We're back. So yes, starting our second half here, Elvira, you want to lead us off into taking a closer look at personal sovereignty?
Sure. You know, one of the things that it's, you know, I was looking at, I mean, there's a couple of things, but it's interesting that, you know, it's like, well, how do I connect with this? How do I, you know, do, how do I get there? And a lot of times it's, well, what you have to do is raise your energetic vibration. You know, it's and it can be done, you know, in physical form. Like, for instance, when we go out, not to do maybe yard work and stuff like that, but when you walk in nature, when, you know, if you live near a lake, you can go to the lake and you can be with the lake. You can be with the energies and the you know, and walk around the lake and you know, kind of, or walk on, you know, nature paths. Those of us that have, I don't anymore, but have lived by an ocean, The thing that I found the most invigorating and incredibly, you know, expansion process is to go to the ocean. And it doesn't mean you have to go to the ocean on when the waves are high or anything, but it's mm-hmm. something about looking out this vast amount of water and seeing it. And you realize, even if you don't want to connect it with a metaphor, but, you know, that's the vastness mm-hmm. of our ability to connect and be part of this higher vibration. And so, you know, there are things about music and, you know, playing music that you like, relaxing music, and doing things that basically take you away from the sense of time. You know, we are structured beings with, you know, this is 5, this is 6, we have to do this at mm-hmm. 8. We got, you know, and I know we have responsibilities with children, grandchildren, jobs, you know, things like that, but we mm-hmm. really, to start this process, we need to find a space to allow ourselves to be without construct of a time. And then, you know, from there, it's more about, because, you know, all energy. Uh-huh.
I said, I love that. You know,
yeah.
The hope
yeah.
without the construct of time. Yeah.
Yeah. That is that, because then we start with the concept of limitlessness, and mm-hmm. that in its own right is the ocean of what we are looking at. And, you know, bringing mm-hmm. ourselves into, we are more than our thoughts and our feelings and our body, because it's this big part of the self. So, you know, that allows us to go there. The crystal healing bowl experience that I had with my family, but it was, I usually get into those things, and I swear to you, I suddenly go out, and my body, of course, goes into the slumber mode, and I'm out there, you know, hanging out with everything. But this time, I experienced that expansiveness but being conscious and awake, not, you know, like I'm sitting up, but just I knew I had my body. I knew I was, you know, in this room, but I could feel that expansiveness, and I think that's the suspension of time and limitation. And from there, it was like, oh my, there, you know, there is this whole process of going into that area. And I found it mm-hmm. really intense. And then mm-hmm. it's take your power back. Take the power back, the boundaries that, you know, have been, that you need to connect into your, you know, like, I know, and the words not, I know I'm going to go talk neuro-linguistics programming, but mm-hmm. when you say, I am not this, the whole process is the mind drops the not and says, I am this. So that is mm-hmm. why that is a word that is, you have to reframe it in ways that you can say the same thing, but without, just like I said, without that word, you know. And mm-hmm. I feel that when you start going to where time is without a situation, I actually had a very interesting conversation. You know, we talk about the past and we talk about the future, and they say, be here now, be present in the moment. But when you really think about it, okay, when you're sitting there, I'm just saying this, it's the past. And the future just came into effect mm-hmm. with what I'm saying now. And, you know, so there really is, you are without a boundary in any of that. And so when you pull your energy back from the past, you're pulling it back from all of the different things that have happened that you still go back to and think about, and your emotion goes back and your thoughts go back. So you're giving your power back mm-hmm. to that situation. It doesn't mean forgetting,
yes.
but it means mm-hmm. finding a way to put boundaries so that you stay with what we're talking right now and we're flowing right now. And that is, for each of us, it is different. I could mm-hmm. give, you know, a thing here and say this, that, and the other thing, but we have different triggers, so we have to look at what those are. And, mm-hmm. You know, then from there, it's basically trust. This is the hardest part. Trust yourself and your feelings. because because again, we go back to out of fear, for one reason or another, we give our power away, you know, mm-hmm. and that, you know, kind of, it's like, instead of making it a circle, you want to make it a spiral, and you continue to move beyond this place. You know, there's when we say up and down, it, you know, it, yeah, but it's that. So that's kind of how I see part of this. And the interesting mm-hmm. thing is, and then I'll turn it back to you, is I've been doing some work on my own with some things, and you're doing your Xane Expedite candle. I'm off doing this other thing. And it turns out that I was connecting with, you know, a particular writer and her work and everything. And I started to realize that, you know, we have these myths and these fairy tales that we connect with. Well, the movie Labyrinth with David Bowie and Jennifer, I think, Conley, I think it's her name. Anyway, the point mm-hmm. is that it is more like this process where the young girl has a journey. She's by herself. She finds these, you know, Jim Henson puppets, actually, and in the characters, mm-hmm. and they're representations of part of her personal energy, her courage that she has been lacking, or this or the other thing. And David Bowie plays this particular character. Mm-hmm. And she's conquering these things. She's going to the inner castle, the inner sanctum, and she gets there, and through, you know, all these things, she says, troubles unknown, and all these things, she says, and at the very end, she looks at him, and she says, "You have no power over me," and this, you know, David Bowie suddenly dissolves into nothingness, and this little owl takes off and flies, and what it is the past has no power over you. And it mm-hmm. dissolves. It's still there as experiences, but it dissolves. And that owl, which represents wisdom, comes mm-hmm. in, and you are able to get that back into yourself. And that's what has been playing in my world, you know. And I've watched the movie. I loved it. My daughter loves it. Mm-hmm. We've watched it over and over from, you know, when she was a kid. Well, I went and watched it a couple of times, mostly so that I could see the elements outside of me, but still understand it personally. And sometimes that's how you have the way to get to your inner knowledge and wisdom and your sovereignty, is that there is something that resonates that is out there as that story or experience or something. So I'm turning it back to you now.
As you were talking, my mind was just kind of going all over the place. There's so many different things that what you were saying inspired. Like, I believe that the things that influence our sense of personal sovereignty come from many different places. Like,
mm-hmm.
It does come from past things, like our parents and our peers and people that we admire. And it's also formed by our experiences and spirituality. But mm-hmm. I think it has more to do, as we grow into it, like with our own self-awareness and our mindfulness and how we interact and react with others. And so I think that self-sovereignty kind of has to do with that whole self-autonomy. And so it is about being aware of your character, and it's about knowing your strengths and weaknesses, but also kind of like being okay with them. Just, you know, kind of noticing them and being like, okay, yeah, that's me. But, you know, what I was really feeling lately is that or inner sovereignty should act kind of like an inner guiding light, or like our center in the storm. Because lots mm-hmm. of times, just things in, out in the world just feel like they're pretty stormy. They're very polarized, very intense. And I believe that whole intrinsic authority and power of us as individuals, that we, if we can tap into that, it is kind of like our center in the storm. And so I know for me, like when I'm in a really, when I'm into my inner sovereignty or in a really good spiritual place, I can have, you know, my husband or my daughter or, you know, a friend say or do something that if I'm in a good place, it just rolls right off, you know, something that would normally disturb me. But then if I'm not in a good space, I haven't been tapping into, you know, that that center within me, they can do the same thing like a month later and I get real upset. And it's like, you know, that has a lot to do with just being in touch with that. Because when I am in touch with my inner sovereignty, I don't, you know, just going kind of on the opposite end of that, I don't allow myself to be manipulated or controlled by any outside person or, you know, group. And I, you know, I choose, you know, which way I'm going to go. I choose, you know, my decisions and my, you know, my path. And I have that autonomy over my life. And so I think that a lot of times I can get knocked off balance. Like if there's just a lot of, maybe I'm not getting enough sleep or I'm ripping and running and doing a bunch of different things, then I, you know, I might get off balance a little. But I think that what you were talking about, like going out in nature, connecting, you know, watching the waves, you know, any of that, I think really, really helps a lot to kind of go back into that mm-hmm. center. And if I think of like just some different ways of doing that, I was thinking, well, you know, I think that whole thing with how you say things makes a difference. And so just kind of going along the lines of like positive affirmations, I think that you can literally rebuild the way that you talk to yourself. That can be a very conscious choice. And you might even like build some, you know, sovereignty into your affirmations where like instead of just saying, I competently meet the challenges of today, you might say something like, I meet all my challenges today as I honor and stand within my sacred self. So you can kind of take it like a little step further where mm-hmm. you're, you know, directly connecting what you're doing or what you're saying or how you're like programming yourself to connect with that inner sovereignty. The other thing I kind of like is connecting with different archetypes that magnify like our inner power or our inner sense of self and our autonomy. So it might be like doing, there might be ways of like doing a ritual where you're connecting to a specific deity or an archetypal figure that, you know, kind of represents that you're trying to tap into. Or you mm-hmm. might go into meditation, like you were talking about before. That whole meditation and going, you know, tapping into the quantum field. And just, mm-hmm. I love that because it's a thing, doing that sort of thing is where I get kind of lost, but I'm lost on purpose. It's like I am losing that ego, losing that whole self because I'm connecting to the field. I'm connecting to everybody and everything around me. But as I do that, for some reason, that makes that whatever, that inner core or that inner sovereignty, it kind of helps me to get in touch with that also because I don't have maybe all the noise around me.
Right, right.
Yeah, so I think that, you know, something that, one experience that I had that I really, really liked, and I didn't even realize it because, you know, I didn't even know what the word sovereignty meant until just recently, but But now looking back, I'll tell you, there was a really neat thing that I ended up being in this ritual about 10 years ago. And it was a croning ritual. And it was very cool because it was me and about, I think there was 8 other croning women. And what we did as part of the ritual, before we got into the ritual, is we created our own crown. And, you know, I think that that's just a great way. I mean, I had a lot of fun making this crown. I had never done anything like that before. And I was able to put, like, little charms on it and different kinds of crystals and stuff like that. And that really, you know, I felt represented at the time that whole coming into cronehood. And and I think that you could do that, like, for any stage that you're at, you know, whether you're the maiden or the mother or the crone, or some people would rather say, you know, the wise woman. That's a great way to get in touch with your inner sapiens. Yeah. Have you had any experiences or done anything to kind of ritualize or bring that inner sovereignty kind of more out in a symbolic way?
Well, yes, not quite the it's interesting. You talk about crowns and making things like that. I went through a stage where I hadn't hit, obviously, the matriarch. Well, I was a matriarch. I was the eldest of the eldest living female of my line, alive, and obviously that kind of put me in a different perspective where everybody was at. They were behind me, not, you know, there wasn't anyone in front of me. And then finding elders that are part of my age group. But what I wound up doing is I wound up crocheting this pattern of a headpiece. And I did it with black and gold and silver and black and, you know, all the different ones. I did several. And then what I did is, just like you, I found pendants and stones and things, and I basically attached them to it. So each one of them represented a different piece of my sovereignty. So there, you know, might have been the, you know, piece of sovereignty over my being an elder and a matriarch. And so there was that. And I utilized it. It came out of something that we were doing in some workshop. And it just, you know, I did it for myself more than I did it, you know, or in a ritual grouping. But then I would do I would make those particular crocheted headbands, headpieces, and then I gave them to different people, you know, as gifts throughout the year of, you know, with my friends and everything, for them to do that as they chose. So they could be, you know, they could make one for being a mother and a matriarch, you know, the mother aspect, or, you know, a teen. Not necessarily one that would be out in public, but, you know, it's like, well, this is my representation of going from child to, you know, the what we would call the virgin, or the, you know, the one that is still without that other part of, you know, creativity of working in that area. And it kind of worked in a real interesting way. I never sold them. They were just things that I kind of did. And subsequently don't have the pattern, don't know where it went, and kind of lost it. But I do have it, and I was unpacking a lot of my personal ritual stuff, and I found all of them. And I was like, oh, my goodness. So that's my experience on that. I do have something that I wanted to share, which was actually a couple of things. One is basically when it talks about reclaiming, you know, your soul, reclaiming, you know, who you are, and that's part of the sovereignty process. And it was brought out to say, bring your head into your heart, physical into spiritual, and I like this one, ego into soul. So it was like marrying, marrying the, you know, the masculine and the feminine, you know, because technically that's what you're also doing. The sovereignty is the co-creative process where they are both equal and creating. And if you think of those things that I just said, they are also part of that equal, you know, engaging where neither takes over completely. But I actually shared this with you earlier, and it's a quote from a gentleman named Joseph Font Newton, and he says, we cannot tell what may happen to us in the strange medley of life, but we can decide what happens in us, how we can take it, what we do with it, and that is what really counts in the end. And I think that is the, you know, the way, you know, in simple forms without, you know, our you know, dressing it all up, it comes down to that. So those would be my my insights or final words on this, as they would say.
Wow. But, yeah. And I love that quote. I mean, that really, really says a lot. Yeah. And, you know, I love that there's so many different ways to look at that. Inner sapi, and also like the reclaiming of it, because I think we're all born with that inner sovereignty, and I think that things happen, we get disconnected and we forget. And so, you know, I'm really glad that we're doing this topic, because it actually has made me think of that a lot more, and just I don't know, like, I guess it might sound kind of silly, but I think sometimes I take myself for granted. And when I was just kind of like thinking about the whole inner sovereignty thing, it's like, wow, you know, there's really, you know, some of the things that I do that I don't really think about, I started thinking about them and really just kind of feeling like, yeah, you know, that's me, you know, that's... And that's good, you know, and so that, you know, that is just, I think, a part of that whole reclaiming is just like recognizing who we are. And, oh, I know I had another thought is just thinking, you know, I did say, like, you know, using, you know, ritual to kind of crown yourself or to as a way to symbolize, you know, that inner sovereignty. But, you know, as after I got done talking, I started thinking, you know, it really doesn't matter what age you are. I mean, you can be someone who's, you know, in their teens or early 20s, and you have some aspects of the wise old crone in you, and, you know, you might want to, you know, and reclaim that. And me, it being the crone that I am, there are some days when I feel like a kid. And so maybe I want to reclaim, you know, I want to reclaim that part for the day, you know. But I think that, you know, each aspect of us resides in all of us. And just being able to celebrate that, I think, is a wonderful thing. Just being able to be in touch with it and just... Yeah, I really do feel like that's a light that lights up within us. And the cool thing about it is when we have that light going on within us is that it permeates out to others, and they, I think it kind of gives other people that spark, you know, connect with their inner sovereign.
Yes. Very much so. And, you know, speaking to your, you know, reclaiming, you know, reclaiming and bringing the child, you know, that's the part that we look at things like, well, there's wisdom and, you know, it's the mature, the wise, the one, you know, but then there's the innocence of having fun, you know, playing with the sand on the beach, or, you know, hunting for stones as you walk, and then coming back and building a little, you know, pile of them or something. You and I both know that one. We go into stonehood, not grownhood. But it is really important to realize that sovereignty has an innocence to it as much as it has a wisdom to it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Yeah. So I guess we're going to get to our final thoughts here as we wind down. So I see inner sovereignty as, you know, kind of like a sacred spiritual self-empowerment. And so can, you know, heal our inner warriors and balance our sense of self and move past any, you know, past things that might be holding us back and, you know, and connect with that inner sovereignty. And so I think it's a lifelong journey. Some days we might get knocked off center or sometimes we might knock ourselves off center, but that's okay because it isn't something that you graduate from, but something that you will keep on going for, you know, a lifelong journey.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's,
so
that says it all.
Well, time for us to say goodbye. I'm going to say just one little announcement at the end here for anyone out there who is at a crossroads, anyone seeking clarity or guidance and would like a reading, you can find both Elvira and I on air, and you can schedule a reading through that. Or if you, for a right now reading, you can find both of us on Hoodoo Psychics. Elvira can also, excuse me, Elvira can also be found at www.elvira.com or at milk-and-honey.com. and I can also be found for readings or root work on air or at www.bewitchingbee.com. So for now, it's time for us to say goodbye, Elvira, and we are going to have next week, we will be talking... Oh, where did I put that? We will be talking about balancing our elemental energy and continuing with our month of March theme of mastering our inner warrior.
Well,
so it is time for us now to say goodbye.
Goodbye. I will thank you all.
Goodbye. Everybody, witch on, witch well, and witch wisely. Till next time.
Thank you for listening to The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, a radio broadcast on the LMC Radio Network. Our podcast airs live every Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Central, and is available for download. Questions or comments on this show or ideas for upcoming shows can be sent to our website at witchpriestessandcauldron.com. That's witchpriestessandcauldron.com. Until next time, merry meet, merry part, and merry meet again. Blessed be.